You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Wisconsin on Civic Media. You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. It is 6:06. Good morning. It's a Monday morning, October 13th, 2025. It is another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, catching us on Facebook, YouTube, podcast, website, however you got here. We appreciate you getting your work week started right here. I got a question for you. Can you believe it is October 13th and we are still talking Brewers baseball? Yeah, because the Brewers beat the Cubs and eliminated them and their manager, Craig Counsell, from the postseason, and move on to play for the National League pennant. The League Championship Series starts tonight at American Family Field. I am wearing my Father's Day gift from one of my daughters, one of those Brewers Hawaiian shirts, and producer Parker Olson down in Madison Studio A2, resplendent in his old school Milwaukee t-shirt with the glove logo. You don't see the wheat logo much anymore. It's pretty much all glove everywhere. Oh, yeah. Mr. Olson, it's a great morning to be a Brewers fan.
It is a very great day to be a Brewers fan. It is hopefully a very good week to be a Brewers fan, Pat. I have a little stat for you here.
A stat.
Okay. The Brewers are 6-0 against the Dodgers this season.
That's right. Yes.
I'm not saying, but not I'm saying. Suggesting.
I'm just saying, you know. There's some who are saying, because you know the old saying is Bucks and six, and they're saying Brewers and six.
Oh yeah,
which I appreciate the sentiment, but why not Brewers and four? You know, I mean,
yeah.
Let's just go ahead and start with the highest of expectations.
Let's get crazy.
Why not? Because let's face it, after game four against the Cubs, we were all mildly panic stricken.
Yeah.
You know, about what game five would be like, and then game five turned out to be pretty okay, okie dokie,
pretty good.
Pretty good. And now we've got some corners of baseball world unhappy with the Brewers, hating on the Brewers, because during the team photo at the end, pitcher Trevor Megill grabbed one of the fly the L flags and held up the L flag up high over the team for one of the photos. And people going, oh, that's just like no class. Oh, that's just... Do you not know the history of the Chicago Cubs?
By corner of baseball fans, you mean Chicago Cubs fans?
Not even all. There are Cubs fans who are like, I'm a Cubs fan. I get it. We would have done the same to them.
I've only seen Cubs complaining about it though. I haven't seen regular people complain.
You know, the people who like would back the Dodgers or the Mets or things, because you know they're expecting that. Oh, Midwesterners would never, you know, rub it in again. Have you met the Cubs? So this felt
Chicago.
Good. Yes, I've stated plenty of times my feelings about this are only amplified by Craig Counsell's decision to stab his team in his hometown in the back. So this has been, that was an especially good game, and especially when it was all on home runs, which was really felt nice.
Yeah.
Although I have to say, I kind of cheated a little bit.
Uh-oh.
I didn't mean to.
Uh-oh.
But this is a story of technology.
Did you use black magic?
No, maybe not. But see, on my phone, I get, you know, you can get score updates.
Oh.
And on my lock screen, you get these score updates. Well, it turns out that my phone was about either 10 seconds ahead of the TV.
Yeah.
Let's put it this way. The TV through the cable system was about 10 seconds behind real time.
Yep.
And the phone will beep if there's a score update in something that I'm following.
Yeah.
And so for each time, Andrew Vaughn, William Contreras, Bryce Terang, they're all up. My phone beeps.
Bing!
I kind of look out the corner of my eye and I say to Sherry, look at this. And then pop, and it goes over and I'm like, yes. I mean, the first time I probably looked psychic. the second time quizzical and the third time I look like an idiot, but it felt so good each time, except for the one time it beeped.
And it wasn't us.
It wasn't us. It was tracking another Iowa touchdown against the Badgers.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just like, you can get off my phone right now. And I did. I deleted that so fast off my lock screen after that, because there was a Brewer hitter up, I forget who, and I hear the beep, and I'm like, oh. And there wasn't a home run. And I looked down at the lock screen, and it's like, you know, Iowa scoops up a fumble or whatever. I'm just like, you're done, Badgers. You're just done.
You're dead to me. You cannot dupe me like that.
It's not that they're dead to me. They're just dead.
That's
losing
also
to Iowa 37 to nothing.
Yeah,
I mean,
they don't.
What's 37 might not be the over under on next weekend's game against Ohio State. In fact, I don't do betting, and I'm not.
Last I saw, I thought it was like 20. I don't remember if that was pre or post Iowa.
Now I'm going to look. Let's see. Yeah. 28.5, 28 and a half point favorites.
That's ridiculous.
They are four touchdown favorites over the Badgers. Oh, boy.
Oh, God.
And honestly, anybody who bets the under, no, stop it. Oh, wow.
Hey,
so that was the story of getting the Badger score updates off my phone while I was trying to enjoy the Brewers game. And let's talk pitching here, because Trevor McGill started, which was unusual. But again, Pat Murphy, genius. You get the kind of the yips out of the way instead of Jacob Mazurowski starting.
Needed a good first inning.
Yep. Had a good. And then, you know, again, that was my most nervous was watching Mazurowski. He especially when he gave up the one home run. I was like, oh, I hope this isn't what it is, because let's remember last year in the wild card series.
Yep.
You know, the Brewers were in a position to clinch. They were up two runs in the ninth inning, and Devin Williams allowed four runs in the final inning, including a three-run home run by Pete Alonso.
That's what I was thinking about when Uribe came up.
Yeah. I make you relive all this just because it was in our minds when Mazurowski was on the mound, and then when Abner Uribe was asked to get a two innings, six outs. And Sherry again is hearing me going, okay, we got six outs to go. Okay, we got five outs to go.
Uh-huh.
Okay, we got four outs to go. I mean, I was just trying to each one of these to happen, because I am very much an Abner Uribe fan.
Yeah.
But I also know that, like Devin Williams last year, you can have those moments where you implode. Mm-hmm. But he did not. He got the final six outs. And so the Brewers are in the postseason, advancing for the first time, winning a division series since 2018, when they then went on to face the Dodgers to go for the National League pennant. And they lost in a heartbreaking game seven, but not this time. We've exercised the demons from the Cubs. Now we're doing it on the Dodgers. This is the vengeance tour.
Crew and six. Let's go. Come on.
There you go. So that takes us to the National League Championship Series. It begins tonight at American Family Field. Coverage begins at 6:30 on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, in Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and Hayward. Again, 6:30 for a first pitch at 7:08. The American League Championship Series is already underway. Seattle beat Toronto last night 3-1, and so they will play game two this afternoon at 4:00 ahead of the National League Championship Series game one, Brewers-Dodgers, at 7:00. Now, the schedule sets up like this. It's today and tomorrow night at home for the Brewers against the Dodgers. Then Wednesday is the travel day. And then they're at Dodger Stadium Thursday, Friday, and if necessary, on Saturday. So Thursday, Friday, maybe Saturday, and then a travel day Sunday. And so if they need a game six and seven back here in Milwaukee, it would be next Monday and Tuesday. So Monday, Tuesday this week, Monday, Tuesday next week at American Family Field. But we won't need that. We won't even need to come back to Milwaukee. But if we do...
Not
again,
until the World Series.
We've got that home field advantage, which would be a big help in game six and seven. So that's kind of how it all sets up. Tony says, I was really nervous of who they would bring in if Uribe blew it. Yeah, me too. I figured it would be
Koenig. It would have been Koenig.
Yeah.
It would have been fine.
Something. Would have been something. Oh, by the way, the Packers played. Usually, we're all in Packer gear at this point, you know. And the Packer game was fine. It was fine. It was a win. It was definitely not what you would call a sexy game. But, no. You know, it was a good old-fashioned victory. Josh Jacobs running for 2 touchdowns. Tucker Kraft barreling his way into the end zone for a TD reception. I really am liking Tucker Kraft. I mean, we don't always have a great classic tight end. So when we do, you know, a guy that can either catch or block, that's nice. And the Packers beat the Bengals 27-18. Josh Jacobs, not feeling his best. He had the flu. Said he threw up a couple of times during the game. Still managed to carry the ball 18 times, 93 yards. He told his coaches the last time he felt this way, he had 130 yards and 2 touchdowns. So apparently Josh Jacobs needs to play sick as a dog.
He's at his best in flu games. Cool. That's good to know.
Sure. Why not? Jordan Love, 19 of 26 for 259 yards. He had the 19-yard touchdown pass to Tucker Kraft and 1 interception. And it's not dominant, but it gets the job done. Tony writes on YouTube, the Packer game felt like the Browns game at first, where the Packers were better, but they weren't pulling the game away. Yep. Yes, I definitely saw that in the comments on social media. People still feel like Matt LaFleur is not like he's holding them back. I don't know that I necessarily get that impression. I see Jordan Love going deep a lot, but it definitely didn't feel like a rhythm. I guess that'd be fair to say.
No, it's really odd. It's been a while since I've felt really good about like consecutive Packer wins. Like the wins against the Lions to start the year was really good. I don't remember who we beat. I think the Commanders the next week.
Yes.
Those were 2 really good wins back to back. But prior to that, I don't remember feeling awesome after a Packer win for a little while.
It hasn't. And all I'll say in consolation to that is, look, if you're going to feel that way, better closer to the end of the season, I guess.
True.
This is a rare home game here. You had the bye week. You had had the other road games. Now we're on the road to Arizona next week and to Pittsburgh the week after that. So this was the only October home game for the Packers, and then they won't be home again until November 2nd. But again, they will take on Arizona next Sunday. It is again a 3:25 game. So again, coverage will begin at 1 o'clock on several stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. And if you think I'm being a little too tough on the Badgers and you do want to hear a little Badger football against Ohio State next Saturday, coverage begins at 12:30.
Why would you
listen? On some of the stations across the Civic Media Network.
Why would you do that to yourself?
The Badger women's volleyball team, they got swept on Friday at Penn State, the 7th-ranked Badgers losing to the 19th-ranked Nittany Lions in straight sets on the road Friday. So they took it out yesterday on Maryland and beat up Maryland in straight sets. And they will next play at home Friday night at the Fieldhouse against UCLA. So
and a sweep for Badger women's hockey against Minnesota Duluth.
I did not even know that they were going already.
Yes, they are. They had an incredible win on a Friday, I think. They were down a goal and they scored with like 20.8 seconds left to tie and then scored to win with like 8 seconds left.
Well, there you go. All right. So we got plenty of sports action to follow. Starting first and foremost with the Brewers. You don't see any other gear that we're wearing today. This is how we roll, at least for this week, hopefully. There's other things going on in the world, and we'll tell you what else is coming up on the program and go over some of the headlines. And Dr. Kristen Lyerly is along before too much longer. But first, from the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thank you for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
So here's what's coming up this morning here on the program. State Representative Jody Emerson from Eau Claire will be along to talk about a new package of bills supporting higher education in Wisconsin, which to many of us sounds like a no-brainer, but is not for certain parts of our legislature. And so she's going to unveil what she's got proposed and the difference between what others in the legislature would be doing for colleges and universities in the state of Wisconsin. We'll talk to Dr. Kristen Lyerly. She'll join us, I should say, for today's history lesson coming up in just a little over 10 minutes. And then after 7 o'clock, we will talk about the government shutdown and how President Trump made his latest move related to the shutdown, firing like 1,000 people at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, because nothing says running a government capably than letting go the people who respond to Ebola and measles outbreaks and other things. So Dr. Lyerly will have some thoughts on that. We'll talk to a Civic Media Sports Director, Jimmy Cuska, of course, about the Brewers and the Packers. We'll be joined by our Civic Media friends, John and Gordy from Madison, Jane Matinere, whose program follows ours at 9 o'clock across the Civic Media Radio Network. And if you're saying, Pat, please stop, that is too much, I cannot handle all of that, I can't stick around, then pod the program. Get over to Spotify or Apple, follow the show there, and listen on demand. You can even, I don't know why you'd want to do this, but you could fast forward. You could listen at, you know, 1.5 or double speed to get through it quicker. But that's one way to do it, is get over to Spotify and follow us that way. Or watch us later on Facebook or YouTube, and that will stop as you like. But those are some of the things we're coming up for you yet this morning. Yesterday came our Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitlow Sunday newsletter from the folks at Up North News and Courier Newsroom, and it includes our question of the week. Our question of the week this week deals with mining, metallic mining for things like, you know, gold, copper, zinc, and other other elements that we know are up there. We've always known they're up there to some degree. The question is whether it's worth the price to dig the mines. I mean, even the test drilling that was recently done up north had some issues, like sediment that washed away into a wetland and a borehole that was left open, which could allow for cross-contamination of aquifers. But there are others who say, you know, once they start mining, they're going to do it responsibly. So do you agree? I ask in the newsletter, where are you on mining? Is it, you know, no way, not ever, don't need it, not worth it? Is it, I'm open to the idea as long as there are really good regulations and protections? Or option C was drill, baby, drill, that the mining companies can police themselves. So what do you think of that? And you can send us a response by responding to the newsletter. Sign up for the newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. Tony asks on YouTube, Dr. Lyerly talked to Chris Matthews. Yes, the former Hardball host. I saw that she'd posted a video being interviewed by Chris Matthews for his program. Tony also asks about the if you listen by podcast instead of speeding it up, can I slow it down to enjoy it for 4 hours? Yes, Tony, you can. But I don't know why anybody would want to do that. So again, thank you. And you can put your own comments in there as well in the comment sections of YouTube and Facebook. That would be the Up North News Facebook and YouTube pages, or the Civic Media Facebook and YouTube pages. On the subject of, you know, regulations for things like mining and other environmental regulations, I haven't given this talk for a while, but I'm going to give it again because there's a package of bills put forth by Republicans in the legislature that went through the next step in the committee process. On its road to nowhere, this package of bills is going to be vetoed by Governor Tony Evers if it ever gets to his desk, but Republicans are always looking to make some kind of a statement by working on these things that are going nowhere anyway. And this new package of bills is all about attacking those pesky government regulations. We hear about regulations all the time. The headline for this Wisconsin Public Radio article, lawmakers debate GOP bills designed to cut back on state regulations and deregulation and overregulation. So here's the talk I haven't given for a while. When you hear regulations, when you hear deregulations, anything about regulations, take out the word regulations, put in the word protections. Because by and large, that's what those are. They're protecting something. They're either protecting the environment, or they're protecting you as a consumer, or they're protecting you as an employee. Now, I'm not here to say that every regulation is perfect and that every regulation has to stay on the books. The trick to being a lawmaker, as I discovered firsthand, is basically eternal vigilance, always being aware that some regulation isn't living up to what its authors promised. It needs to be modified, or it needs to be removed. It needs adjustments. But to erase regulations for the sake of erasing regulations is really just attacking protections. In other words, you're doing the bidding of some business or some group that wants to remove those protections so that they can, for example, drill as much as they want and not have to worry about those pesky regulations about groundwater contamination or the regulations on things like, you know, child labor, because there are people that want to address the labor shortage in this country, not by fixing immigration, but by letting more 14-year-olds and 13-year-olds and 12-year-olds do job duties that we passed child labor laws a century ago to deal with so that our kids would not be facing those kinds of troubles. But people say, oh, it's those pesky regulations. And so these bills are making their way through the committee process right now, again, to make that statement. And while they won't go anywhere, it is an ongoing GOP talking point that says Wisconsin is one of the most heavily regulated states in the country. Thank goodness. I like living in a state that puts a priority on protecting children from exploitation and protecting employees and protecting the environment. It's what makes Wisconsin such a great state to live in. And what say we not go backwards? We have got today's history lesson. Dr. Lyerly will be joining us in just a bit, starting with the singer and keyboardist for the group Chicago. On the way, I'm Pat Kreitlow. This song never fails to put me in a better mood. It's just nice and upbeat. It's Chicago, its beginnings. It was written by Robert Lamb, who turns 81 years old today. Songwriter, keyboardist. He wrote many of the band's biggest hits, including Does Anybody Really Know What Time It Is? 25 or 6 to 4, Saturday in the Park, and more. He is one of three founding members still performing with the group that they founded back in 1967. Welcome to today's history lesson, where we are joined by the one and only Dr. Kristen Lyerly. Dr. Lyerly, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm okay.
Somebody's still recovering. You were not at the game yesterday. I was surprised to hear.
I was kind of planning to ride my bike there, because that is one of my favorite things in the world, is to ride my bike to Lambeau, tailgate, and then come home and listen. And I just wasn't feeling up to it. So we made soup instead and hung out with the boys.
You know what you should have done? You should have gone down the road just a little bit to where I was Friday to get roasted chicken at Schuster's in Denmark. Roasted chicken. Roasted chicken in Northeast Wisconsin, ain't nothing like it.
I still don't really know what broasted means. It's broiled. It's roasted.
It's a different kind of invention. A lot of people kind of refer to it as a Nesco as well, but it is something where you are essentially pressure cooking it and baking it at the same time. In other words, you need a special piece of machinery. You can't just call something broasted. You have to use an actual broaster. And if you do it, and if you do it right, it is the best chicken that you will ever have. And you get that with some mashed potatoes and gravy and some kneecaps. You know, not the kind that you're recovering from, Kristen, but the little pastries. Basically, it's a little mini
donut. That's a very Denmark thing.
It's a very Northeast Wisconsin thing, except it's not a mini donut. There's just an indentation, not a hole. And you put powdered sugar and whipped cream on that. And oh, my goodness. So good. So good. Anyway, let's get back to today's history lesson because I'm making myself hungry. And this one is just for Alicia, who really liked the last segment, saying I could not have said it better, Pat. Well, Alicia, this is for you. On this day in 1775, the Continental Congress established the Continental Navy, predecessor of today's United States Navy.
Alicia, of course, a proud Navy veteran, like so many other folks out there. So, you know, so much respect from us, the people who you have served and fought for. Not so much from the federal government, who has a lot of lip service, but not actual, you know, support.
Including not actual paychecks like right now. But happy 250th birthday to the United States Navy. On this day in 1792 in Washington, D.C., the cornerstone was laid for what was then called the Executive Mansion, later known as the White House. Again, this day in 1792. Happy birthday to singer Paul Simon. He is 84 years old today.
Do you have a favorite Paul Simon song?
Do I have a favorite Paul Simon song? Oh, gosh. Good question. Me and Julio Down by the Schoolyard comes to mind. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's so much. I mean, either with a guy named Art Garfunkel, who was a pretty good singer in his own right. And then he had such a great solo career. But this would also be in the top two or three, Kodachrome.
Yeah.
Yeah. A couple of baseball notes here. On this day in 1903, the Boston Red Sox won the first modern World Series, beating the Pittsburgh Pirates in the eighth game of what was then a best 5-of-9 series.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. It used to be stupidly long.
Stupidly long. there are some people that will tell you 7 games is stupidly long to them, but you know, it's better than those stupid 1-game playoffs. But yeah, best of 9 might be a bit much. Another baseball note. On this day in 1969, Billy Martin was fired as manager of the Minnesota Twins. Keep in mind, the Minnesota Twins had just won the division with 97 victories, but they were eliminated in the postseason by the Baltimore Orioles, and the team owner, Calvin Griffith, finally had enough of Billy's volatile personality and fired the guy that had just won them a division.
That sounds like a Minnesota sports move. Just saying.
It sounds like a Billy Martin move, who I get years later would be at a bar in the Twin Cities. I think he was managing the Yankees at the time and got in a fight with a marshmallow salesman in a hotel bar.
Oh, my God.
He had a way.
Yes. I miss those days of, like, you just hear about the ballplayers at the bar after the game. I wish we still got those stories.
I know there are a couple of bars around Green Bay, one or two that are still operating, that were operating back in, you know, the glory days of the 60s.
Yeah.
And there are stories that can be told, and there are stories that cannot be told about the things that went on at some of those local watering holes. Happy birthday to singer Sammy Hagar. He is 68 years old today.
He seems like he should be older or dead. Either one.
Jeez.
Again, please, ridden hard and put away wet would be Sammy Hagar, who still can't drive 55. He'd rather drive his age, which is now 68 years old today. All right. One of those stupidly easy pop quizzes, I hope, for Parker here. Hunter and businessman Leonwood Bean was born this day in 1872. What business did Leonwood Bean begin?
If it's not L.L. Bean, I'm going to be really mad.
It is L.L. Bean. So okay, congratulations on that. Yes. Singer Marie Osmond, little Marie Osmond. She is a senior citizen today, 65 years old.
She's a little bit country.
And a little bit rock and roll. Sacha Baron Cohen is 54 years old today. Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is 36 years old today. All right, I am happy to say that last night I finally finished the, like, 5+ hour Billy Joel documentary.
It's good, isn't it?
Just to tell you that on this day in 1978, Billy Joel's 6th studio album was released. It was entitled 52nd Street. It would go on to win the Grammy Award for Album of the Year.
Thank you.
We all know these songs. We know all of these songs.
We do. Mm-hmm. There was Big Shot, Honesty, My Life, Rosalinda's Eyes. And so back to the documentary, I promised Greg Bach that we would use Friday's history lesson this week, and it would basically just be a Billy Joel appreciation segment. But I'm going to tell you anyway here on this Monday as well. You have until Friday now to go watch it. I watched it on the HBO Max app. It is just so good.
And it's so real. Like, it doesn't gloss over his mental health struggles and his, I mean, Christie Brinkley on the brink of tears as she's talking about their marriage.
Oh. It's not a lot of people can get all four of their wives or ex-wives to appear in a documentary and speak from the heart about how much they still love him. But, you know, there were the demons and the same goes with band members, you know, who've been with him for literally decades. But again, as somebody who just loves great songwriting, what do they call it? The beautiful torture that you go through writing what you hope is a hit. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you're just writing from the heart. And then his whole struggles with his early childhood and, you know, his father and everything else just makes it such a well-done documentary. So, again,
I love it when they tell the full story, because then it really gives you the insight to who this person is and where their artistic fire comes from.
Oh, and I loved when he was talking about, meeting Christie Brinkley for the first time, you know, at a bar in the Caribbean. And it was her and Elle McPherson and another model who was a surprisingly good singer by the name of Whitney Houston. Like, what? What? where did that come from, you know? I have to make a correction here. There is a reason Sammy Hagar looks 10 years older. He actually is 10 years older. Troy and Madison points out that I'm an idiot at math, and he is 78 years old, not 68. Troy says, I was at his 60th party 18 years ago.
Whoa.
So, yeah.
Rock on, Troy.
I know. Now, that's a story. Now that you know how to use the text line or use the voice feature, I want to hear some of those stories. Exactly. So, anyway, so Sammy Hagar, yes, I'm looking at the math here, 78 years old today. All right, on this day in 1979, the number one song was by Michael Jackson.
Now I'm feeling a little bit better.
I know.
Get up and dance.
Well, and again, people of a certain age go, oh yeah, that's from Off the Wall. Yes. Mm-hmm. It was the first track from his solo Off the Wall, the first where he had creative control of his music rather than the people who were doing the music for the Jackson 5. And it would be the first of four singles off that album and really launch his grown-up career, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. On this day in 1983, the first cellular network in the country was launched in the Chicago area by Ameritech. That particular network is now part of Verizon. On this day,
did you have one of those giant brick phones?
I did, yes. And it was so cool. It's like, look, I'm talking on a cellular phone, and holding up this brick to your head. It was so, and you thought that was the ultimate. It's never going to get better than this. You can take the phone with you. Mm-hmm. It did get better. It was still pretty cool. That was 1983. In 1984, the number one song was by Stevie Wonder. I just called
to say, aww, I love you. Did that ever inspire you to call Sherry and be like, I'm having a moment right now, Sherry. I'm just calling to say I love you.
Yeah, but it wasn't that song, but I'm sure there were others. This was from the soundtrack of the movie The Woman in Red back in 1984. On this day in 2008, 5 months after marrying Jay-Z, Beyoncé released a sassy song about it.
Y'all miss Pat doing his little hand flip.
Do a little hand thing. That's right. Yep.
I didn't even see it.
I can't do the other part where you're like, you know, moving your arms and it's...
You could, I think.
I could.
A little practice.
Yeah.
Maybe tomorrow.
Yeah.
Or I could we do this tomorrow?
Fall down and
I think we can do this.
Yep. Yeah.
I'll train him up.
It would be the number one song for 4 weeks and win the Grammy for Song of the Year, again, back in 2008. A story that had a happy ending, a mining accident in Chile this week in 2010, came to a happy ending as all 33 miners who had been buried underground for 69 days arrived safely at the surface. What an amazing rescue. And I brought that up because I'm sure we have all forgotten about it, but we needed that moment to remember something good that happened in the news. And that happened this week in 2010.
Amazing. It would be amazing to talk with them about, like, it's been 15 years now.
Yeah.
So what was that like in retrospect, and how did that change their lives?
I remember, I don't know how long ago now, 2-3 years ago, reading an article about it, and how everybody was doing surprisingly well, except for like one person who never truly recovered from like their PTSD of dealing with it, you know? Mm-hmm. But again, by and large, a happy story. And on this day in 2016, Bob Dylan was awarded the Nobel Prize in Literature, a category with winners like John Steinbeck and William Faulkner. The award was given for having created new poetic expressions within the great American song tradition. To which I would respond, "How do you know?" You have to be able to hear them. Yeah. There is today's history lesson. Coming up after the 7 o'clock news, we will talk to Kristen more about the government shutdown. Because I mean, after all, what good is running the government if you can't, you know, fire the people who respond to Ebola outbreaks? You know, little things like that. That's coming up after the news, live from Chippewa Falls. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Today is a holiday for some, Indigenous Peoples Day, including a Courier newsroom. So no daily newsletter today, but it will resume tomorrow. And you can sign up for our newsletter by heading over to upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe in the banner at the top of the homepage. Kristen Lyerly continuing with us now and her ongoing attempt to be interviewed by every media outlet on planet Earth, most recently from former Hardball host Chris Matthews.
Bill Hardball host. He's just on Substack now instead of MSNBC.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So yeah, looking through social media and that, yeah, there's you and Chris Matthews talking away.
Yeah.
Tell us more.
We covered everything from, you know, RFK Jr. and what's happening with our healthcare infrastructure to his prostate cancer treatment and his grandchildren. It was wonderful.
Wow. Okay. where did you go on RFK? I mean, I suppose it's everything that we've already touched on here.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, he, you know, he is so steeped in politics, but he's obviously very concerned about what's happening with RFK and whether some of the moves that he's making really are for the good of the public health. And, you know, clearly he understands that they're not. I understand that they're not. So we talked about Tylenol in pregnancy and how there is no causal link between Tylenol and autism in pregnant women. We talked about the vaccine schedule and how RFK has fired all of the experts who sit on the ACIP, which is the board that recommends, it looks at all of the data for all of the vaccines, including the VAERS reports, including all of the VAERS reports are the adverse reports that people submit, all of the new research that's coming in to change the vaccine schedule. All of those experts are gone. Now that is a politically motivated body. You know, we talked about kind of everything health related, the STI recommendations, sexually transmitted infections, recommendations for managing people with complicated health histories. We often need a little bit of help determining what kind of contraception is safe for them because it's not safe for everybody in every situation. So you have to really tailor your care to your patients always. So a lot of those resources are housed at the CDC. And when the CDC does not have people, it does not have experts in non-political positions, it is really hard for doctors like me practicing in places like Wisconsin to be able to get the information I need to be able to take care of my patients.
The headline from Chris Matthews, and by the way, you can find it at thechrismatthews.substack.com. The title of the episode is Hardball with Chris Matthews, Michael Hill, and Paging America's Dr. Kristen Lyerly. Yeah. Have we talked about Paging America?
Paging America is a podcast that the Committee to Protect Healthcare does, and I'm a frequent guest, but it's typically Miles Baker, who's the chief of staff for the organization, and then executive director Rob Davidson. This is the Committee to Protect Healthcare is an organization of over 40,000 doctors in every state, all different specialties that focus our energy on our patients and where we can get our wins and how we can actually move health policy forward to make a difference. So we've worked on reproductive rights, definitely. We've been involved in the ballot initiatives all across the country in Ohio and Florida and everywhere. We've worked on lowering drug prices in places like Minnesota, where they were able to institute a board to look at all of the drug prices and make sure that the pricing was appropriate and people, corporations, couldn't run away with huge prices that patients couldn't afford. So it's really patient-facing advocacy work, and Paging America is kind of the doctor perspective. They've got a really cool episode coming up probably this week with former CDC executive Dimitri, I'm going to mess his name up because it's a super Greek name, Dasikalis, I believe. He's one of the CDC folks who left during the original purge and is now speaking out about how dangerous this is for the public health infrastructure here in the U.S.
So that's on Chris Matthews' Hardball that you can find on Substack. We'll talk about Kristen's own weekend show coming up after the 7 o'clock news. Tony asks on YouTube, what doesn't Kristen do? And then a moment later, he answers his own question. Oh, right, marathons. Never mind.
Right, so. Yeah, marathons are out.
All right, and then finally, Parker's going to share with us what's on the calendar for today. I'll kick off the first one because it's Breast Cancer Awareness Day. And so this is where, again, listen to the doctor as we talk about the need to catch breast cancer early.
Yeah, we need to ensure that everybody has access to screening, and not just screening. That's mammogram screening. It's talking with your doctor about your risks. Everybody has a different risk profile. So it's really important to know, do you have an elevated risk of breast cancer? But it also means being able to get access to what happens after the screening. If you do have an elevated risk, if you do have a mammogram that has a suspicious finding, you need to be able to get the follow-up studies. And many people can't afford that. That is one of the most frustrating things for me as a physician, and certainly for my patients, when they're looking at their own personal information and trying to figure out, how am I going to pay for that additional ultrasound or other imaging study that I know I need, but I can't afford? Yeah. We can do better. And breast cancer affects 1 in 8 women in this country, and it affects men too. So this is something where we absolutely, as a country, can do better.
All right. Parker, it's also a holiday today.
Yes, it is. It is. Where are we? There we are.
The one that says Indigenous Peoples Day.
Yeah. Well, you said Indigenous Peoples Day already. So
okay. Okay. I bring it up again just to note that, again, it's not to people go, oh, you're anti-Italian, anti-Columbus. No, no, no. This is about Columbus, the slaveholder and the colonial conquest bringing diseases all around the world, which of course means that Donald Trump praised him up and down the other day, essentially revoking Indigenous Peoples Day and redeclaring the day as Columbus Day, and saying things that were just, shall we say, well, the things your crazy uncle would say at Thanksgiving.
Isn't it ironic? Like, Columbus actually like brought the immigrants here.
And yes. It was on Saturday Night Live on Weekend Update. They're like, the irony that nobody has been more responsible for bringing Hispanics to North America than Christopher Columbus.
The time has passed.
Again, it's people don't like the immigrants of this time. You know, they go back and go, oh, I can't believe anybody discriminated against the Irish. Really? Talk to some of the Irish and how their folks were treated. You know?
Germans. I mean, my grandpa's stories. Yes.
Right. On and on it goes. All right. Much more after the news here on these Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be talking to State Representative Jody Emerson a little later on in the program as well. Stick around.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.